Good morning. Today our opening hymn is hymn 912, Christ is our Cornerstone, hymn 912. And again, we will follow the order of service printed in our bulletins. Continue in Psalm 119 at verse 129, and we read this together in unison. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The giving of your word gives light, it grants understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me. As for you are those who love your name. Order my steps according to your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so I will keep your precepts. Make your face to shine upon your servant, and teach me to honor your statutes. Rivers of waters run down my eyes, because the people do not keep your law. Again, we pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come into your presence this day to seek your mercy, to hear your word, and to offer up our prayers and praises. Hear us for the sake of the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and his atoning sacrifice on the cross for our sins. The Bible tells us in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord does not count iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me, my strength was changed into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not conceal. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. For this cause, everyone who is godly will pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will preserve me from trouble. You will surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye on you. Do not be as the horse or as the mule that are without understanding, that must be restrained with bit and bridle, or they will not come near you. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but loving kindness will surround the man who trusts in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous one, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. Let us therefore confess our sins unto the Lord and look to him for mercy and forgiveness. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we who are sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you in our thoughts, desires, words, and deeds. We therefore plead for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the sake of Jesus' holy life and his atoning sacrifice on the cross, I announce unto you the grace and mercy of God, and in the name and stead of Jesus Christ our Savior, proclaim to you forgiveness for all your sins through faith in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson today, and also the text for our sermon, is in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Here we read, "Let law be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, cleave to what is good, be devoted to one another with brotherly love, prefer one another in honor. Do not be lazy in diligence, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not pretend to be wiser than you are. Repay no one evil for evil. Commend what is honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to God's wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in doing so you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I ask you to please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel appointed for today is recorded in St. Luke's Gospel in chapter 16, beginning at the first verse. He told his disciples there was a rich man who had a steward who was accused to the man of wasting his resources. So he called him and said, "How is it that I hear this about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you may no longer be steward." Then the steward said to himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking away the stewardship from me. I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what to do so that when I am removed from the stewardship, others may receive me into their houses." So he called each of his master's debtors and said to the first, "How much do you owe, my master?" He said, 800 gallons of oil. He said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 400. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" He said, 1,000 bushels of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 800. The master commended the dishonest steward because he had acted prudently. For the sons of this world are wiser in their own generation than the sons of light. I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when you fall short, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is dishonest in the least is dishonest also in much. So if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. We join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue by singing hymn 649, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. I ask you to bow your heads and join me in a word of prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we again pray your Holy Spirit's guidance and blessing upon the speaking of your word this day. We pray that we'd be strengthened and built up in our faith and that we would walk in accord with your word. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. The word of God, which we consider today, is recorded in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 9, where we read, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, cleave to what is good. Be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Prefer one another in honor. Do not be lazy in diligence. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not pretend to be wiser than you are. Repay no one evil for evil. Commend what is honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to God's wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." As we consider this text, we need to remember again that this is really where the rubber meets the road in regard to living our Christian life. In the first part of this letter, St. Paul addressed the fact that we are all sinners, that the only way to be saved is that righteousness which is imputed to faith, that righteousness which Abraham had, which David had. And that we are justified, counted righteous in God's eyes when we place our faith in Jesus and his cross, what he did for us there when he suffered and died. Here we continue with the thought of how should we really then live as Christians? How should we respond to Christ? And a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that because of God's great mercy to us, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this text certainly continues in that vein. How do we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, which is our reasonable service of worship? So how do we respond to God's grace and mercy to us in the Lord Jesus Christ? And it begins in our text here. You know, we talked about last week about using the gifts that God gives to each of us to build up the church, to build up our fellow believers. But here we have a list of, I guess you could say, little commandments, little directives, how we should live as Christians. In the Greek, they are pretty much connected because we have in verse 9, it speaks about love, and then all the rest of these are, well, I think most of the rest of these are participles, which ties it all together. So, you know, it basically is saying, how do we let our love be without hypocrisy? But so we begin in verse 9, you know, let love be without hypocrisy. Some Bible translations use some rather long words that we don't use so much in English to describe this, but essentially it's describing the same thing, that our love should not be different on the inside than the way we try to make it look on the outside. And this Greek word for hypocrisy, the word from actually which we get the word hypocrisy, comes from a Greek word which is connected to the Greek theater. And Greek theater is a little bit different than our movies today, or even theaters today, where people dress up in costumes. In Greek theater, you know, the actors often wore their own clothing, but they had a mask that they carried on a stick, and they would put it in front of their face when it came to their part. And that mask indicated that they were not themselves, they were speaking as this person or this character in the play. And that was a form of hypocrisy. In other words, you are no longer presenting yourself, you're presenting as someone else. Well, our love should be without hypocrisy. In other words, we should not pretend to have love for others that really isn't love in our hearts. And so what St. Paul is saying, that our love is really to be genuine for our fellow believers, and as we go on, we see it really applies to all people. And as we think about this love, you know, the word here in the Greek is agape, the selfless kind of love. But it's helpful to look at what St. Paul writes to the Corinthians, because so many of these letters kind of follow a similar outline, because in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, he talks about spiritual gifts. Then he says, yet I show you a more excellent way. And then comes chapter 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, agape, I have become as a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. If I give all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love flaunts not itself and is not puffed up. And we'll come to that later in our text. Does not behave itself improperly, seeks not its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then it goes on to speak about love never failing. And so here when it says that our love should be without hypocrisy, it indicates that our love should indeed be genuine, selfless love. And we tie that back to the fact that we are to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord. In other words, we're no longer living for ourselves. We're living for him who died for us and redeemed us, who died for our sins and rose again. And so as we live in that love for God as a response to his great love for us, it is a selfless love. It is to be genuine love. And of course, this is not a love that we can just drum up, you know, and say, today, well, I'm going to try to be selfless in my love. That can only come from the Holy Spirit's working in us through the Word of God to bring us to understand and to grasp the great love that God has for us in Jesus Christ. That though we were sinners, yet Christ died for us. That he paid the price for our sins that we might be back in fellowship with God. Connected to this, and I told you there's a lot of participles in the Greek, I didn't bring the Greek along, but connected to this is hate what is evil, cleave to what is good. We might wonder, well, what does this have to do with love? In another place in the Bible, it tells us that, you know, we are to speak the truth in love. And if we truly love our fellow Christian, and our fellow Christian falls into sin or error, we're not going to just say nothing so that, you know, they don't become upset with us. In genuine love for that person, we're going to do what's best for them. And so we're going to go to them and show them from the scriptures where this is wrong, where they need, you know, and direct them to the cross of Jesus for mercy and forgiveness, and join them in prayer and encourage them to walk in accord with God's word. That is love. To tolerate evil is not love. Not to hate evil is not love. And of course, we always view love and hate as opposites, but they're not entirely opposite. One can hate evil and even hate in the sense, the enemies of God because they're in rebellion against God, and at the same time love them and desire that they repent and look to the Lord God for mercy. You know, we see this in Psalm 139. To love, as it says here, to cleave to what is good and to hate what is evil is actually an attribute of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's described back in the Old Testament in Psalm 45, which is a messianic psalm pointing ahead to Christ. In Psalm 45, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verses 6 and 7, it says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is an upright scepter. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions." And the Bible uses this verse, it points to Jesus, that he is anointed with this Holy Spirit without measure. And a proof of his righteousness before God is that he loved what is good and right, and he hated evil. And so as Christians who seek to be more and more like Christ, who sacrifice ourselves to Christ, we also are to hate what is evil and cleave to what is good. We're not to tolerate evil, but to reprove it. And we're to cleave and cling to what is good and right in God's eyes. We're to be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Here, the Philadelphia type of love here is used. A brotherly love, it's probably a lot different than love in Philadelphia, but a brotherly love. We're to have genuine concern for our fellow believers as our own family. And of course, you see in the Old Testament, in some cases, brothers were at enmity like Cain and Abel, but in other cases, there's a deep brotherly love which binds them together and they stand together. And so we are to have a mutual love for our fellow believers and indeed be devoted to each other, to live for each other. It says to prefer one another in honor. In other words, we're to give preference to others and not just do what we want or say what we want, but we're to consider first the needs of others. And it's kind of like, you know, even in marriage, wives submit to their husbands, but husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So husbands give up themselves, their own ambitions and goals, and live for the good of wife and children. It says not to be lazy in diligence, but fervent in spirit, and serve the Lord. And so instead of, you know, being lazy and, you know, not following through, the scriptures urge us to be fervent in spirit and be serving the Lord all the time, rejoice in hope. We're to keep our joy in the hope that, you know, we have waiting for us. It's not a hope that I hope this happens tomorrow, but it's a hope that God has promised this is going to happen, and I know it's going to happen, and I'm just waiting for it. And so we rejoice in the fact that we have promised to us everlasting life in God's kingdom. We can't begin to grasp what that will be like. What are the new heavens and the earth going to be like? You know, the Bible doesn't give us a lot of detail. It's going to be far better than here. And you know, it speaks of streets being paved with gold. And so what we count precious is nothing more than asphalt in heaven as we compare. We're to be patient, enduring in suffering. In other words, as we live our lives here, sacrificing our lives to the Lord and to our fellow believers, to the good of the church, to build each other up, we are to be patient when we suffer, when we're persecuted, when we're mistreated. We read that in 1 Corinthians 13, you know, love endures all. Love doesn't turn away just because somebody doesn't treat us the way we think we should be treated or honor us the way we think we should be honored. And love always seeks the best in our fellow believers. Persevere in prayer. In other words, we don't give up in praying. And in our prayers should not just be for us and what we want or desire, but our prayers are for our fellow believers. And being our number is so small, you know, it won't take us long to list everyone in our prayers, but that doesn't mean we can't be praying for all those outside of our little group and praying that they too would come to know and trust in the Lord Jesus. Maybe even join with us in hearing his word and learning of him. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And so if we're able to help a fellow believer, you know, the saints are the holy ones, those who are holy through faith in Jesus Christ. They are justified, forgiven. So those who are fellow believers, if we're sacrificing ourselves, we're willing to give up of ourselves to help them in times of need. You know, this is not the socialism that's practiced today, you know, to take from the wealthy to give to the poor, or to rob from one to give to another, to try to make everyone equal, but it is genuine love and concern. If God has richly blessed you, you use those blessings he has given you to help those who are genuinely in need. And again, wisdom is required in that, because you don't want to teach somebody to not work, because the scriptures tell us, you know, any who would not work, neither shall he eat. And so we're not trying to encourage people not to work, but when somebody's in genuine need and we can help a fellow believer, we should sacrifice of ourselves and be willing to do that. And it says, lost my place. Oh, there it is. Practice hospitality. Welcome people into your homes. Welcome your fellow believers in your homes to help them in every case. It's sacrificing of yourself. I mean, you give up a lot of privacy. You give up a lot of quiet, maybe even. But you practice hospitality towards your fellow believers. But it goes further. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. You know, our thinking is to curse those who are enemies and speak against us and desire God's wrath upon them. But the Bible tells us to bless them, to be praying for them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Again, to show empathy, to share in the joys of those who are rejoicing, but also in the sorrows of those who have sorrow. Be of the same mind toward one another. Again, you know, just it shows again how we should, our love should be without hypocrisy. We should share together in our thinking toward one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, which is often a problem. People are willing to associate with those who are highly respected and maybe wealthy, but not willing to associate with those who are lowly. We need to remember who it is Christ called into his church. Often it's the poor, those who are not wise in the wisdom of this world. So we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we should think, but rather to associate with the humble or the lowly. Do not pretend to be wiser than you are. This is directed specifically to pastors, I think, because pastors have the tendency, when they get asked a question, they have to come up with an answer. They can't pretend, I don't know. But many times, that's the right answer. I don't know. I will study it and see if I can find an answer. And sometimes, you know, the questions people ask need to be left in the I don't know category, because there's not an answer in the Bible. And if there's not an answer in the Bible, we shouldn't make one up. And perhaps one of the most common questions that gets asked pastors, what about so-and-so who, you know, committed suicide? Will he be in heaven? Well, of course, we know from the Bible, if one dies in unbelief and despair, not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's not saved. But we can't look into their heart or know what was going on, and so we say, should say, I'm not the judge. Jesus is the judge. And he looks at the heart. And he knows what's going on there. And we leave it in God's hands. Certainly, We should never consider something like suicide because it is an act oftentimes of no longer trusting in the Lord God, despairing of his mercy and taking our life. And we have the example of Judas, who's called the son of perdition, who took his own life, and it speaks of him going to his place as the son of perdition. It speaks of him suffering God's judgment because of his rejection of God's mercy. Judas was not condemned because he betrayed Jesus. Judas was condemned because he did not trust that Jesus would forgive him. Peter denied Jesus, just as guilty, just as sinful. But Peter trusted that Jesus forgave him. And that's the difference. No matter how great a sin we have sinned, if we trust in Jesus, he paid for that sin, and we have mercy. But if we think, my sin is too great, he could never forgive me, and we die in unbelief or take our life in unbelief, it leads to eternal death and damnation. And so we need to speak the truth, but we are not the judge to try to determine who's in heaven and who isn't, who believed and who didn't. And there are many other questions that people ask that need to be left in that category, not to be wiser than you are. People like to know if their pets are going to be in heaven. I love my dog, but nowhere does the Bible tell me that my dog's going to be there in heaven. If God thinks my dog needs to be in heaven for our joy, it'll be there. If not, then I leave it in his hands. Kind of the least of my concern, but for a lot of people, it's important to know. But we have to say, we don't have the answer to every question. We have the answers to what we need to know. We need to know that we are sinners, that we are under God's wrath, but that Jesus paid the price so that we could look to him and be pardoned and forgiven. The text goes on to say, repay no one evil for evil. Commend what is honest in the sight of all men. And so we're not to respond to evil by another act of evil, which is our natural response as our sinful human nature would lead us. You know, the first thought so often is, how can I get back at that person? What could I do to that person that might even be worse than what he or she did to me? It says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. It is a trait sometimes in pastors, and it is often a trait in people that we go out looking for trouble. We go out seeking to stir up trouble. And the Bible tells us that as Christians, we're not out to stir up trouble. We seek to live at peace with everyone as much as we can. Doesn't mean we can compromise the truth or give up teaching what God's word teaches. But we're not out seeking conflict with others. We're simply seeking to speak the truth and to live in accord with God's word. And then it says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, quoting from Deuteronomy 32. It's not our place to seek vengeance. We trust that the Lord will provide judgment when he returns. And a good passage to look at in relation to that is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, where it speaks about our Lord Jesus Christ's second coming. Here it says at verse 5, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, rather, this is evidence that God's judgment, being righteous, will count you worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. It is a righteous matter with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They shall be punished with eternal destruction, isolated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at by all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. And so the day will come when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and he will take vengeance on all those who oppose the gospel and oppose Christians and even persecuted and put to death Christians. And at that time, and not until that time, at that time we will have rest. Before that, Jesus says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And so we can expect persecution and suffering, but we leave the vengeance, the judgment, to our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And so it closes by quoting from Proverbs 25, verse 21 through 22. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And if you think about those words, if our enemy is persecuting us, or, you know, we're being treated meanly or suffering in some way for our faith and for the gospels, and we respond in like measure, to do the person who's persecuting us any good? They just become more fierce in their opposition to us, and they say, see, you know, you are evil in how you're treating me. But if we love him, or as it says here, feed him, give him a drink, help him, he's going to feel the guilt of his own words and actions against us. It's going to heap coals of fire on his head, not to make him, you know, not that we're trying to make him suffer, but he's going to feel his own guilt, because here he's treating us in this way, and yet we still love him, and we still try to meet his needs, we try to help him. And in this way, it often opens up an opportunity to share the gospel, to speak to him, you know, why are you doing this? Because of what Jesus did for me. I was his enemy. I opposed him. I rejected his word. I was living life my own way. I didn't obey God's commandments. And yet, in love, he still died for me. I didn't love him, but he went to the cross and he paid the price for my sins that I might be forgiven. I still didn't know him, but in love, he sent me his word and the Holy Spirit, who showed me my sinfulness and showed me what Jesus did for me. Showed me how he died for my sins and rose again, and how he satisfied God's wrath against my sins and made atonement so that if I look to him in faith, God pardons me, forgives me, accepts me. That's why I can still love you, even if you hate me. That's why I can still seek to meet your needs, even if you would try to harm me. Because I love you as Jesus loves me. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your great love for us, that you went to the cross to redeem us, you paid the price for our sins, that in you we have forgiveness and life. We pray that you would teach us to be more and more like you each and every day. We know that we will never measure up in this life, and so we continue to trust in you and your cross alone for forgiveness and life. But we seek to be like you, and we look forward to that day when you return and our sinful bodies will be raised up in glory, and that we will be in your image, that we will love with your love perfectly, that we will live righteously as you lived righteously. We pray your blessing upon us, your care, that you would keep us in that true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. I ask you to stand, and if you would turn in your bulletin to the offertory, which is from Psalm 51, we will just read this together. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your willing spirit. You may be seated. We will continue by bringing forward our offerings. Can I ask you to please stand and join me in prayer? Merciful Father, for the sake of the shed blood of your Son, Christ Jesus, forgive us for failing to walk by faith in the promises of your word. Move us to read and study our Bibles regularly and to come before you with our petitions and praises. Keep us from being overcome by our sinful inclinations, and preserve us in the true and saving faith unto life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. O Christ Jesus, eternal Son of God and our Savior, you gave your life for ours when you died on the cross and made atonement for our sins. Bless the work of our pastor and the faithful pastors and missionaries everywhere, so that your life-giving word might be proclaimed among us and among the nations and peoples of the world, and those who hear might repent of their sins and look to you at your cross for pardon and forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy. O Holy Spirit, do not forsake us because of our weakness and disobedience to your word. Be patient with us and move us to continually repent of our sins and look in faith to our Savior for mercy. Teach us from your word, strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith. Lord, in your mercy. O loving and merciful God, our nation and people are living in darkness and under your wrath and judgment. Open the eyes and ears of our people and rulers, that they might see and hear the truth of your word. Repent of their evil deeds and fall down at the feet of Jesus, pleading for pardon and forgiveness. And then seek to walk in your ways that your judgment may be turned away and your eternal wrath against us be averted. Lord, in your mercy. O healer and preserver of our bodies and souls, as you have promised, we ask you to provide for all our needs and to preserve us from all harm and danger and all evil. We lift up to you those among us who are afflicted. We remember, especially today, Linda, Joyce, Carl, Richard, and all others we name in our hearts. Have mercy upon us and grant healing to the sick, comfort to those who are oppressed, and strength for all to endure the troubles and afflictions of this life in the hope of everlasting glory, for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. We pray the prayer which our Lord Jesus has taught us. Our Father who is in heaven, Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Hear the words of institution. I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup after he had supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I ask you to come forward then to partake of Christ's body and blood. The Lord bless you and keep you in his baptismal grace. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. I ask you to please do. Now may this holy body, the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you for Jesus' sake. I ask you to please stand. O Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, we thank you for fulfilling all righteousness in our stead, and then taking upon yourself the guilt and punishment for all our sins, and making full atonement for us by your perfect sacrifice on the cross. And we thank and praise you for giving us to partake of your one holy sacrifice, that we might also partake of the blessings you won for us by your death, and have made sure to us by your glorious resurrection. Strengthen and keep us in the true and saving faith, and move us to live our lives for you while we await your glorious return and the joys of your everlasting kingdom. Amen. Receive now the benediction of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You may be seated. We close by singing hymn 642.
Thank you.
Welcome to all of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think that last hymn is kind of a beautiful hymn. We don't use it very often, but it's a beautiful hymn. I have to ask Tina, Ach Gott von Himmelreich, is that God from heaven, heavenly kingdom? As it's moved into English, it's slightly different because you have to make it rhyme. But I'm sure the point of the hymn is the same. So again, God's richest blessings to you. As far as announcements, just a reminder, next Sunday, we will have our voters meeting after church. And we have a lot of things to discuss and talk about. I think everybody here knows I signed a lease on Monday. So we will have a space, I don't know, it'll probably be about the 15th of August when we're able to move in. So I'm not sure, it could be before that. And we're not, even if we get to move in on the 15th, we can start using it. We won't be charged for the first month's lease until September. It'll be September through, you know, each month. So I'm hopeful that'll work out well for us. It's a smaller space than this, but we'll sit closer and we can mutually encourage each other by singing in each other's ears. So. Any other comments? Yes?
I just want to mention again, we have a new group of books out in the kitchen, a lot of Bibles, a lot of Bible studies. If you know people that can use them, feel free to take them. If not, I'm going to take them to Samaritan House and donate them. It's some really nice stuff and it's different than what was out there before.
Okay. So if you can use them, take them. Or if you know somebody else who needs a Bible or something, take it and give it to them. So, anything else this morning? Okay. God's blessings to you. Thank you.